Once again, let me say thank you. Thank you to all of those who have contributed to our ministry in different ways over the last week. Thank you for those who have fed us incredible food. Thank you for those who have encouraged us, whether that be through a card or you've looked at one of us in the face and said, hey, keep going, you'll be fine. And thank you especially to those of you who have prayed for us over the last few weeks. God has blessed our journey so far, and our prayer is that he continues to bless us, not only this semester, but hopefully in the semesters to come. This morning, I want to share something with you that's a little different. Normally, on a Sunday like today, I would share information about what we've done in the past, so maybe events we've done, or I would share you what we plan to do in the future, so maybe our weekly gatherings or other things we have going on in the ministry. Instead, today, I want to share with you a few of the reasons that we do what we do. I want to give you a small picture, perhaps behind the veil, let you see the wizard standing back there. I want to share with you three of the values of our ministry. This is not an exhaustive list. We have more than three, but we would be here for a while if we were to cover all of those. But these ideas are, they're ideas that really are kind of the thing behind the thing. So we have lots of things, lots of events and gatherings and experiences that we participate in. But this morning, I want to share with you the reason we do those. These are not ideas that we typically teach on or share, but they fuel much of what we do every week. They fuel much of the style of ministry we've kind of committed to. Some of these are because of the mentors that I have in my life that are in campus ministry, but most of them are actually based on what we've learned in campus ministry, especially over the last 3 years since I've been here. And I believe that these three things are especially vital as we do our best as a faith family to minister to college students. So, this morning, without further ado, or pomp and circumstance, here are three values or three desires that shape the trajectory of our ministry. Everybody good? Number one, lifelong obedience. Value number one is lifelong obedience. There was a German philosopher in the late 1800s. Don't worry, I didn't actually read this, just found it on Google. He says this, "The essential thing in heaven and on earth is that there should be long obedience in the same direction. There thereby results and has always resulted in the long run, something that has made life worth living." Paul, that is New Testament Paul, also had his eyes set on a long run or long obedience when he wrote his letter to the church in Philippi and also when he writes his second letter to Timothy. And not only does Paul have his eyes set on what we might call a long run or long obedience, but so does the Hebrew writer. The Hebrew writer seems adamant that his audience or her audience continues in their faith, continues in the trajectory that they've already set for themselves. The idea of lifelong obedience or the idea of just a long obedience in the same direction is not necessarily a popular story in our world. In fact, our culture actually teaches quite an opposite story, one that we might call of instant gratification. The narrative of now, we might say, has moved into the neighborhood and we are being shaped by its presence. We are told that anything worthwhile should be able to be received instantly and effectively. And if it's not received instantly and effectively, it's not worthwhile or it's not worth it. Our attention spans have been shortened to 30-second commercials, 30-minute sitcoms, or at best, we might make it through 30 pages of Cliff Notes that are really actually about a much longer book. The narrative of now is pervasive and it's tragic in so many ways, especially as we try to follow Jesus. There's a writer by the name of Eugene Peterson, and he says this, talking about the narrative of now. What's it mean in our culture that things have to happen this instant? He said, "It's not difficult in such a world to get a person interested in the message of Jesus. It is terribly difficult to sustain the interest. Millions of people in our culture make decisions for Christ, but there is dreadful attrition rate. Many claim to have been born again, but the evidence for mature Christian discipleship is slim. Ow. The evidence for mature Christian discipleship is slim and hard to say. One of the desires for our students in our ministry is a trajectory toward lifelong obedience, which when I say it like that, it sounds so uncool, right? It's not what I want it now. But one of the things that we desire is that we equip and empower students with tools and narratives and trajectories that are going to fuel them for life. Things that they can commit to in the name of Jesus that are going to fuel a trajectory of lifelong obedience. A couple things that means for us. This means instilling a sense of disciples that follow Jesus as followers and learners. So not only do we follow Jesus on mission and participate, but we also commit to actively pursuing learning and being formed into the image of Jesus. The pursuit of progress is the goal, not the ploy of perfection. Pursuing something consistently and constantly here. We pray that our students would learn now ways to follow Jesus for life. This also means for us championing the local church. That if we're going to establish some sort of lifelong obedience, we have to be champions for the local church. Many of the students that we work with that are actually here this morning will never be a part of a ministry like ours again. But our prayer is that they would be champions for the local church, whatever city God sends them to. Both now and the future. We have to be champions for what God is doing, that God is building his church, and we have to be a champion for the cause of Christ in our churches, because I think that's one way that we can instill a lifelong obedience in our students. Jim Brinkerhoff, who is the late campus minister at Auburn University, he used to tell his students, he said, never forget, you are a Christian who happens to be a student, not the other way around. Never forget, you're a Christian who happens to be a student, not the other way around. In our ministry, one of the values and one of the desires, one of the trajectories that we want to hold on to is the idea of lifelong obedience. And we want to equip and empower our students towards such a trajectory. Number two, related to lifelong obedience is our second value, and it is this: disciples making disciples. Disciples making disciples. I've said this plenty of times before, but the only imperative in Matthew 28 is make disciples. In other words, Matthew's Great Commission says, as you go, as you baptize, as you teach, make disciples. Over the last year, we have fervently tried to equip students with rhythms to grow as disciples. And if you were to ask the students in discipleship groups, hopefully they could tell you that and they would resent me the whole time they were saying it. But our prayer is that not only that phrase sticks around, but what they have learned has too. Another story that I think we've bought into in our culture is that we can figure out everything on our own. And that translates into following Jesus is best done in a silo. It's best done with me, myself, and I. We might call this the narrative of one. The narrative of one has also moved into the neighborhood and it's affecting us. How often has someone come to know Christ and then just been left to figure it out on their own? Honestly, I haven't seen that much in this church, but I've seen it in lots of other places. And sadly, it seems to happen all the time. There's this rush to kind of get them to know Jesus and get them to be saved. And then often that trumps partnering with them to actually walk along with them and make a disciple. To walk alongside them and encourage him or her and walk with them so that they would look more like Jesus. Because things don't just change overnight. Amen? That all of a sudden it's not like, oh yeah, I know Jesus. It's all better. I'm done. And that we somehow think we can muster the energy to do it by ourselves. There was a book written a few years ago called Life Together. And the title alone, I think, is phenomenal. But in the book, the writer argues that there is a beauty of community, and we have an absolute need to understand the value of community as we understand the value of discipleship. They go together. That we can't do this in a silo. For us, one thing that means is discipling through invitation and challenge. So here's how that plays out. When we invite people, we invite them into a relationship. We don't just invite them into an event or a gathering, then one of the most powerful things we can do with someone is invite them into a relationship with us along the journey. But discipling also requires challenge. Hey, how are you doing in this area of your life? I remember you said you were struggling with this. How's that playing out? See, we have to have both. We have to have invitation into relationship, and we also have to have challenge to deeper levels of a discipleship. If we just have invitation, it often looks much like a social club. Oh, just show up. We'll figure it out. We're just glad you're here. Let's post the number somewhere. If we just have invitation, it often looks like a social club. But if we just have challenge, the opposite's also true in slightly different ways. Do this. Don't do that. Go here. Be there. What are you doing? Press in harder. And so we need invitation into relationship, and we also need challenge to deeper levels of discipleship. And so one of the things we've tried to do is that through discipleship, to foster a community where we can have invitation, we can have challenge. And what's phenomenal is that our students are hopefully learning how to do this with each other. We have a desire for students, our students, and this is crazy, crazy, to be able to go into any ministry, in any church, in any part of the world, and sit down and disciple a group of people. I just think that would be phenomenal. If we could have a group of students that could go into any ministry, in any church, in any part of the world, and sit down and disciple a group of people, and disciple them to live the way of Jesus. We spent the last year learning four rhythms that helped us, hopefully, learn to listen to the Spirit, but also learn how just to be a disciple. What's kind of the basics of this thing? This year, we'll be learning the rhythm of Scripture. So what's it look like to dive into Scripture and let that story, let that narrative be the narrative that shapes us? Is it really that bad? I'm kidding, that was a joke. So not only do we value lifelong obedience, and not only do we value disciples making disciples, I only have one more. You should be excited. It's 10:47. One more value. A heart for the house. Value number three is a heart for the house. For those who may be new to our faith family here, we have a house just off campus at the corner of 14th and Olive, and we'll have the debate later whether it's Olive Street or Olive Boulevard. No one wants to have that debate? It's hilarious. I think it's Olive Street, at least that's what Google says, but I get told it's Olive Boulevard all the time. It's right across from Woods Hall if you're a student. If you can make it to the big gate, just take a left at the big gate and look for that logo. You'll see it. What is just awesome in my small mind is that thousands of students have been ministered to through the work of this ministry and the work of that house over the last almost 5 decades. That's incredible. One of my good friends on campus is the minister at Chi Alpha. And between he and I and the ministries we currently serve under, we almost have 100 years of influence on the campus of Murray State. That's incredible. And that has nothing to do with me. That has everything to do with this church a long time ago believed that college students were worth it. That's awesome. So we have a desire to continue to minister through our house, to have what I like to call a heart for the house. There's a narrative that our culture tells us of the negativity of planting roots, the negativity of settling down and putting our feet in somewhere. Instead, we often live into what I like to call the narrative of the new. The narrative of new has also moved into the neighborhood, and it's influencing us. We hear that we should always be looking for something new and moving towards something that brings us new life. Well, here's the thing about traditions. Traditions were started because at one point they brought life to a group of people. Right? Traditions aren't something cold. They were actually made that way because at one point they brought life to a group of people. We have, in our ministry, absolutely incredible roots that have been laid for us to continue to live from, to continue to be fed from. And our prayer is that the roots that we have and the heartbeat that comes from them will continue to drive our heart for our house and our ministry. And what's crazy for me is that actually this name right here, Racers for Christ, is actually a part of those roots. If you drive by our ministry house today, you'll actually see the sign that's on the screen that says Racers for Christ. That name's been a part of our ministry since long before I arrived. And here's the deal. I really think it helps us shape and form and walk into our identity. And here's why. God's primary presence is through a people, not a place. Everybody tracking with me? God's primary presence is through a people, not a place. So we're going to wrestle with the next few weeks, actually, some of these ideas. It comes up in 1 Corinthians 3. It comes up in 1 Corinthians 6. Paul also kind of pleads with the people in Athens, hey, this God that gives you life is in you. He's not in these temples. So we have a desire as a ministry to minister to students through the house that sits at the corner of 14th and Olive. We have that desire to minister through that house. And we have a desire to minister to students through the houses on 2 feet that are the people of God. We have both desires. And what we're trying to do is kind of say, hey, we want to outreach to our campus. We want to reach people for the name of Christ. And so if we are a group of people, that is who we are. We are the racers of Christ. That is our identity. And so to our benefit, we also have deep, deep roots that go back almost 5 decades. What a great narrative to walk into. We value lifelong obedience. We value the idea of starting something now that goes for a long time. And we've got to fight and combat the narrative of now in order for our students to be able to walk into this such of a story. We also value disciples making disciples. The idea of you being able to walk alongside someone. And the idea of making a disciple is not here that I'm somehow better than you and smarter than you and you're down here. It's actually more like this. I'm just a little farther down the road. So let me come back and walk with you. We value our students walking into this story and not the narrative of one that I can do this all by myself. I told them, an hour ago? That being a part of our discipleship groups is maybe more important than anything else we do. It's one thing for you to come and listen to me bark on a Monday night or listen to Charlie or Mark or any of us talk, that you cognitively think about things, and I think God's Holy Spirit works in those moments, but it's a whole different thing for you to sit down with 3 or 4 people and say, here's how I think God's working in my life. Here's how I think God's working in my life. How are we now going to follow Jesus together? Now we're getting somewhere. So we value students being disciples that are making other disciples. And we also value a heart for our house. We have some incredibly deep roots here. And we want to continue to be fed by those roots, to be fed by the history of the University Christian Students Center, to be fed by the present of what we're doing now. And so we want to walk into that narrative, not the narrative of, hey, everything's got to be new. These are just a few of our desires that hopefully are being planted and equipped into our students. And perhaps another time I can tell you about the rest of our desires. One more thing and one more story. These fancy words right here that are really low that you might not be able to read, they say, follow Jesus, love God, love people. Those are really, really simple words, and that's why we use them. That what is the most fundamental thing that we can commit to as a ministry? Well, that's following Jesus. If you read the beginning of the Gospels, most of the time, the first thing he says to someone is, hey, follow me. Okay, I'm in. But I have doubts. That's okay. I come from a terrible church background. That's okay, too. My family is broken, and they say you're crazy. That's okay. Sometimes I think I'm crazy, too. But you don't understand my doubts. You don't understand my concerns. You don't understand the things that I've done in my life. That's okay. You can follow Jesus with us. And as we do that, we're going to commit to loving God. We're going to commit to posturing ourselves towards him. And we're going to commit, as Mark said so well this morning, we're going to commit to loving people. We're going to commit to it. I told our students this past Monday night a story about someone who challenged me this summer. And this is, this is more behind the veil. I've been challenged a few times in the last 6 months or so that we've just got to be a people of prayer. This is why in May we asked you to pray for us all summer. This is why last week I asked you to pray for us all week. And I told our students Monday night a story about a young man. And then I told him Monday night that if we're going to be good at anything, we're going to be good at praying. I've had a few coaches that have kind of said, we might not be good at this and we might not be good at that, but we're going to sure be good at this. This year we're going to do our best to seek God in prayer. And the young man that came up to me this summer, he sat down and he said, "So what if it's true that God actually gives you what you ask for? What would you ask for?" I sat there, thought, and we talked for almost a couple hours just about what would we ask for if we really thought that when we asked God for things, he gave them to us, that his answer was either yes, no, or later. And then he said this. He said, "So when I got to America," there's a clue that he's not from here, "when I got to America, it sure does seem like you always pray after everything's happened." He said, "We always hear about people after they get to the hospital. We always hear about people after things happen. We always wait till the blue lights come on, then we pray." Right? And he says, "Do you guys ever pray before anything happens?" And I said, of course, my instant minister, I'm being defensive reaction was, "Yes." And then I began to think, why did he pick up on that? He hadn't been here very long. Why did he pick up on that? Now, by the time we get in here, I get that a lot of things have already happened. That's how it works. Not much happens on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. so that we can pray about it before it happens. However, is that in any way true? That we pray after? And what would it look like for a group of people to gather every week, every Monday, whenever, and pray before and plead with the Spirit of God to move? And when things happen, immediately when they happen, we pray for them. Well, part of what I would argue is that if any of these values, if we want to see any of them come true, that we have to begin way before we ever implement anything, equip our students a certain way, come together, we have to begin by praying for all of them. And so my only request for you today is that you would go before the mercies of God and pray for us. If that's every day, awesome. If it's once a week, super. If it's just every Sunday when you show up and you see us and go, oh, great. And I also want to pray that you would pray for the future. If you find out about things that are happening in our ministry now, great. If you find out about things that have happened in the past, awesome. I think that God is always only drawing us forward. Anything we have from the past is going to be used in the future. And so if you would, please, pray for these values. Pray that our students would have lifelong obedience. Pray that our students would be willing to be a disciple that makes other disciples. Pray that our students would have a heart for our house and a heart for the house that walks around campus on 2 feet. Please pray for us. I want to go ahead and pray for us and then offer an invitation. Let's pray. Holy Father, we are so thankful for the people in this room. The building you've given us to meet in with so much freedom. So thanks for our ability to be together today and to listen, hopefully to you. God, if anything that's been said this morning in class or from any of us is from you, God, may you use it. May you plant seeds. May you water them and harvest them in ways that maybe we don't even ever get to see. And God, if anything that's been said this morning is not from you, throw it away. God, we're eager for you to form us and shape us and mold us into the image of your Son. So God, I want to pray that through our ministry that we would find students and that students would be a part of your story and your narrative and that they would have lifelong obedience, that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to feel and hands and feet to walk in ways that we can help them be obedient to you, not only for these 2 or 3 or 4 years we have the ability to love them, but for wherever you would send them. God, we pray that you would do incredible things through these students and that they would remember that they have roots here. God, we also pray that our students would be willing to make more disciples. It is hard sometimes to look at your peers and ask them what God's doing. So God, may you find a way to give our students courage. By your Spirit, may you comfort them and convict them when it's needed so that they can walk and invite people into relationship with you and with them and so that they can somehow learn how to challenge each other. God, we're eager for you to make disciples through us, not just in our ministry, but around our campus, in our city, and wherever you would send us to the nations. God, we are so thankful for the house that we have, that we can gather in, that we have young men that live in and make their home, that we can have a ridiculous, crazy, fun time in, and that we know that you love the laughter that comes out of that house. But God, we also pray for a heart for the houses that walk around campus, That we would know that we have roots here, that we have a family that loves us, that we can come to for so many things. And so, God, may you do crazy things that we can't imagine, that we can't dream up, that we can't blame on each other through the heart that we have for our house. Father, we are so thankful for everything you've given us. So thankful for today. So thankful for just another chance to be your people and to be called your children. So as we walk out of here, may you empower us to be your people on this campus, in our city, and around the world. We love you and we praise you for the forgiveness and mercy and peace and joy that we've been offered in your Son. And it's in his name that we pray. And the whole church said, amen. Our church is full of broken people. So, if you have any sort of brokenness this morning that you want us to pray for, know about, do our best to help you, we would love to help you in any way that you would allow us to, in any way that maybe we can. So we're going to stand, we're going to sing in just a minute, and I would invite any of you to talk, to wrestle with things. If you want to come talk to our college students, they would love that, won't you? You have an opportunity here that's incredible. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your prayers. If there's anything you need, come talk to us. Let's stand and sing.